Winding down Sefer Yechezkel. Okay, we're up to Perek. Is this thing working? We're up to Perek. No, it's good. We're up to Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Yud Zayin. So we're finishing up the Mizbeach. Okay, well, I'm not going to give out a handout. We already know the handout. We already know enough. We don't need the handout for today. The Hazara. The Azar means the top service of Mizbeach was Arba Esrei Orech B'Arba Esrei Roichad. This is a hard Pasuk. Okay, so this is the last pasuk describing the Mizbeach. It was 14 by 14. So according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, this means 14 from the center, which means it's going to be 24. It's going to be, 28. Arba Esrei, 28 by 28. So 28 by 28 means it includes the corners as well. According to the previous pasuk Tes Zayin, it said the word Voha Ariel, that refers to the very, very top. We learned yesterday the word Ariel, the Shoresh, or the word Ho Ariel is Ari, a lion. And this refers to the Shekhinah, the fire. The Shekhinah of Hashem appeared on the surface of the, appeared in the Bayis Rishon, and it will appear once in the Bayis Shlishi. The Shekhinah of Hashem will appear on the surface of the Mizbech in the Tzura of a lion. Why? We don't know. These are very mystical things. The fire will be an Eish Min HaShemayim. The Eish Min HaShemayim is a representative of Hashem Shekhinah. It looks like a lion. So where is the place? Where is the location of the burning of the Kabbalah on the surface of the Mizbech, which is, it said yesterday, 12 by 12, which meant from the center, which means it's 24 by 24. But the Mizbech is not 24 by 24. It's really 28 by 28, from end to end. That is correct. From end to end, it's 28 by 28, but we're going to subtract two amos, an amo on each side for the mekayim kronos, the corners, and then another amo on each side for the mekayim hiluch raglei hakoyhanim, a path for the koyhanim to walk around. When the koyhanim have to go all the way around to apply blood to the top, to the corners when necessary, and when they had to put the meat on the Mizbech in a certain location, for whatever reason, they had to be able to walk around. So if from end to end it's 28, and we subtract 2 for the corners, and another 2 for the Mekayim Hiluch Raglei HaKoyhanim, we're left with 24 by 24. That's what it says in Pasuk Tes Zayin, that's called the Ho Ariel. But if you want to measure it from end to end, including everything, including the corners and including the Mekayim Hiluch Raglei HaKoyhanim, then it would be the Ho Azara. That's what the Ho Azara, that means from the entire surface area, from end to end, not focusing on which part the fire of Hashem is resting and burning the meat, it would be Arba Esrei Orech, it would be 14, which means 14 from the center. We double that, it's 28. B'arba Esrei Reichav, El, and the center moves out, expands out, El Arbas Rivoeha, to its four ends, to the four sides, period. Then it says over here, V'hagvul, and the gvul means here the corners, Saviv Oysa, and this is, it appears to be repetition, because no, we didn't necessarily have this, do we? Let's just leave what we have here. Well, obviously, this is very mystical. The four panim on the Kisei HaKavod. Okay. Then it says over here, V'agvul. Chen it says V'agvul. The gvul over here, we'll see in a moment. This means the keren, the corner. The corner is the word we're going to, the unusual word we're going to choose here for the corner. Like I told you many, many times, the vocabulary used to describe the different parts of the Mikdash and the Kalim are not what we would expect. The Agvul, the corners, Saviv Oysa, surrounded it on all four sides, Chatzi Ho'ama, a half an Amah, meaning a half an Amah from the center. So when you go out to each of the sides of the corner, it's one Amah. Then it says, V'hachek Lo Amah Saviv, the Chek Lo, that refers to the Yisoid. It's repeating. I mean, we have a little, there appears to be a bit of a repetition from this pasuk to the previous pasuk. I don't know why. Maybe we'll see more clearly in the Farshim. I don't remember. And the foundation was also one Amos Saviv. And then we come to something we have not yet learned at all. This is something which is totally new. We now describe the ramp. Uma'aloi Sehu, its ramp Pinos Kodim. It's a very misleading expression. It would seem that it's on the east side, but we know that's not so. We know that the ramp is on the southern side. So what does it mean that it's on the east side? It means if you go up on the south, it will enable you to fulfill what Chazal have taught us. Kol Pina Sha'ata Poine Lo Yehei Ela Liyamin. Chazal are very makbid on going counterclockwise. They want us to go back in time. Chazal are always asking us to go back in time. When you're walking, every time you make a turn, you go to the right.
Well, we know left turns are more difficult.
They're doing this in traffic now also.
Traffic, you go to the right. Called Pina Sha'ata Poine Lo Yehei Ela Limin. So when you walk around the Mizbeach, you walk around counterclockwise. When you do hakafas, how do you do hakafas? Also counterclockwise.
Yes. Think about it.
Turn to the left.
Okay, when you take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron HaKodesh, which way are you going? You're going counterclockwise. When the Chazan takes out the Sefer Torah, so he's facing the Tzibur, which way is he going? He's going to the right.
Okay. He's usually holding it on the right side.
He's holding on the right, but
would orient you that way.
And that's the difference. Just because he's holding on the right doesn't mean you have to turn to the right.
No, but he's going to the right counterclockwise. I thought that's clockwise. No.
Think about it. If you're doing our coffers.
Thinking backwards.
If you're doing our coffers.
Look at that clock.
When you're doing hakafas,
when you put it back, when you go,
when you're going back, so you're facing. No, you're also going counterclockwise. When you're going back, you're facing the Aron Kodesh. So you take the Sefer Torah facing the Aron Kodesh. You're always moving to the right. So when you're going in a circular fashion, when you're going to the right, if you're always going to the right and you're going in a circular fashion, from the big picture of things, you're going counterclockwise.
Sorry. Okay.
Think of that kafa. Make believe from a bird's eye view.
Look at my watch. Look at the watch.
No, don't look at
the watch. What is that? What is the watch doing now?
What's it doing?
It's going the wrong way.
Okay.
Think about, make believe you're looking down from the ladies section in a shul where there's a big balcony. Okay, and you're right all the way on the top, and you're watching the men do hakafas. They give the Sefer Torah, the first hakafa, on Hashem Moshiach, on Hashem Atzlichana, and you're in the balcony all the way on top, and you're watching the men do hakafas. Okay, and make believe you're sitting in the back. You're sitting in the back of the shul.
There's
picture this. What?
Yeah, to the right. No, but.
But then you're going leftwards.
What is going leftwards? When you walk,
you're starting out at the right, but you're going towards the left.
Yeah. I'm following my right hand, no? Your other left.
It's very simple. Look, picture the following. Look, picture the following image in your mind. You're in a shul. You're upstairs in the balcony. You're in the back.
Why are you doing that to me? Why can't we just
no,
be there?
Let me explain this illustration. Then you'll understand
it. I hope you have ways.
Think about this. You're in a Beis HaKnesses. You're in the balcony on top of the top. You're in the back of the shul. You're facing the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, and you're on top. And you're watching the first hakafa. They give a Sefer Torah to the Chazan, and he holds it by the bima, and he says, "Ana Hashem Oshiana." Now, which way is he turning? He's going in a circle. He's going right, and he keeps on going all the way around.
But I'm looking at it. He's going counterclockwise. But he's going clockwise.
Oh, so he's saying, you know, so he's saying, "Taka, very good." So he's saying, so the end. Okay, no, you know, you're making a good point, and this is a very big topic. So the answer to your question is. When you move, okay, it's confusing. Right? That's why I gave that very simple example from the big picture of things. But if you want to be more technical, when you turn right, does that mean you just move your body right? Or does that mean, that means when you go right, you always have to be, you have to move on an angle. Because if you're gonna be going straight and you get to the end of the right side, you're going left. You see, Mark is making a very good point. Mark's question is, okay, it's very nice, you're going right. But you're only going right the first side. When you get towards the Aron HaKodesh, go take the Sefer Torah and you turn right around the bima and you move your way around the bima, and now where are you going? You're going left. didn't Chazal say kol pino she'ata point lo ye'el liyamin? That's your question. Isn't that your question? The answer is no. The answer is, this is a very important idea. The answer is that you're not supposed to be facing front. You folks, as you turn right, you're always facing the center. So you're basically moving sideways. When you go along the right side, when you're right, what? Well, when we do our kafas, we don't do it like that. Obviously, you're walking straight. But in the mizbeach, it seems they did it like that. So you don't.
They're always facing the mizbeach.
Exactly, always facing the center. If you're always facing the center, then indeed you're always moving to your right. From the big picture of things, you start out going right, but then you start going left, and then when you get to the very end, you're left. Then you will go right once again, but you did make a very steep left at one point in time, and then move your way backwards. But that's only true if you're facing front. And also, if you're facing this way, so then when you're going to come to the very end, it's going to be left. So it's more left than right. Your point is a very good point, because if you're always facing frontwards, pretty much most of your trip around the bima is going to be to your left in Ochinami. But who says you're supposed to be facing straight? You're supposed to be facing the center. When you're facing the center, you're always moving towards the right. Okay, someone showed me a whole sefer just on this topic.
Really?
Yeah. Every time Chazal say right, left, and call pinusha to put leyimin, what does that mean exactly? It says el yimin mizrach. Chazal, to give greater emphasis to this complex concept, it says the yimin, it's only leyimin when it's lemizrach. It's coming to emphasize, but not necessarily when you're going to be going on the other side, on the west side, is it going to be leyimin. It's a very complicated sugya. You're correct. You're making a very good point. The simple understanding, there are two, there's just a very simple way to understand this. That means from a bird's eye view. That's kind of like what it is. I don't think in Chazal is such a thing called counterclockwise. Is there such a thing like that? Clockwise, counterclockwise?
I'm not.
They had sundials. Look, that was a Daf Yomi a day ago. Before the marble, the week, the seven days before the marble, the sun rose in the west and set in the east. So what was that about? What's the say? Hashem was Mishan and Maisa Bereshis. It's going in the wrong direction. Instead of going, does that mean when the sun rises and the sun sets? Does that mean that it's going right? Called the sun is also the Mekayim called Pinushat Apon Lo Yehi El Yimin. Well, if you're facing north, then Enochanami. If we face north, then when the sun rises, the sun is going from the left to the right. But is that the proper focus? In the secular world, every map has north on the top. But Chazal say, where is the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is in the west. Not in the east. The east is just a practical fact. We live in America, so we face Yerushalayim. If we would live in China, then we would face
west.
Okay,
the North Pole would still affect a compass. I mean,
okay, so that's the question. The question is, what is when Chazal? If you would take the Tanoim and Amoraim, you have them draw a map. What would they put on the top? Would they put on the top north? Would they put on the top east, where they live, facing Yerushalayim? Would they put on the top the west? L'chayra, the most significant direction from our perspective is west. That's what it would seem. Why? I don't know why, because Chazal say the Shekhinah is in the west. That's what it says. That's why L'chadodi, on Friday night, we turn around to the west. The Shekhinah is B'marav. When Makabel Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos, the Shekhinah that comes with Shabbos, in the Marav.
Okay. The Marav or the door that we face?
It's a complex. There are different opinions in this matter. From what I understand, Akri, I'm totally wrong, is that the majority opinion is the most, there are many opinions, but is that you're supposed to turn L'chadodi to the west, L'may Nafkamina, if the Aron HaKodesh does not face east, So let's say it's facing north. So where should you turn around?
Facing west.
Oh, is it facing west? Okay, so
we still turn around.
Okay, Eilachan. So the mid. Okay, I'll tell you an answer to this question. But there is such a discussion that if the Beis HaKnesses does not face Mizrach for whatever reason, when it comes to L'chadodi, where should you turn? The Pashtus is the reason why we turn around is because most Batei Kenosios and Golos face east, and the Shechina is in the west. And they went out on Shabbos. The minute comes from the Gemara says they went out to the fields. They went out to the fields to Mekabel Shabbos. Which field did they go out to? They went out to the west.
That's where the setting sun was. That's the way they brought Shabbos.
They brought Shabbos in. No, but Chazal, I hear what you're saying. The sun is setting in the west. But Chazal, they emphasize it's not just that the sun happens to set in the west. There's a mystical concept, which is beyond our understanding, that the Shekhinah is b'marav. Look, for example, in the Beis HaMikdash, what is the main entrance to the Beis HaMikdash? In the east. Where is the holiest part of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in the west? The Kaisel HaMaravi. Like Pascha Shekhinah mi Kaisel HaMaravi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Shekhinah to remain even in times of Galus, so he may have brought it about which of the four walls of the Har HaBayis was never destroyed. The Western Wall. Why the Western Wall? Because to connect us to this concept, the Shekhinah is in the Maarav. The Ner HaMaaravi and the Menorah. There was one Ner in on the Menorah that never went out. A miracle, 24/7. Which Ner was that? Well, that's a whole... Either it's the center Ner, or it's the second, which is closest to the east. But yet Chazal call that Ner the Ner Maaravi. It's not the Maarav, according to all opinions. It's either the center, or it's the second, which is closer. It's closer to the east. It's called west because it's the second. It's the after. But that's not the west. No, because since there is this mystical, supernatural, Kabbalistic concept that the Shekhinah is in the west, whatever that means, every time we associate with the Shekhinah, it's going to be the west. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is the Maarav, the Kodesh HaMaaravi, and the Ner HaMaaravi. And it's an idea. So therefore, Friday night, when you do L'chadoidi, you turn to the west. Normally, it works out very well because the Aron is in the east. So Mela, the turn around. What about a shul where they don't have this, where it's not like this? So what should you do? So they're different minhagim. Now, there's a very interesting idea. I had a very, very nice talk with my uncle, of Soloveitchik. He didn't really go for this. He really rejected this, but I'll tell it to you anyway. The idea is that in a shul there's a virtual east and a virtual west, north and south. When you come into a shul, when you build a shul, you're supposed to build the Aron Kodesh in the east. But if for whatever reason it doesn't work out and you can't build. What?
Like you're on the wrong side.
You're wrong side. The shul doesn't work out. So, for halacha is concerned, it doesn't matter. You're in your own little world. The Beis HaKnesses becomes a virtual reality. And wherever the Aron HaKodesh is, that now is a virtual east. So when it comes to Kabbalah Shabbos, you turn to the virtual west. Even though when you walk outside of the shul, wow, it's a different world. Okay, you're living in a different world, and there are rise to this. There's a student in Mishnah Berurah talks about. There's a student in Mishnah Berurah about between this concept. Let's say you come to Beis HaKnesses, and the Aron HaKodesh is in the north. Okay, it's in the north or the wrong side. What do you suppose? Which way should you daven Shmoneh Esrei? So there's a student in the Mishnah Berurah. One Mishnah says even though the Aron HaKodesh is in the north. Everyone, the whole tzibur, the daven Shmon Esrei, they should turn towards the east. There's another Mishnah that says no. It says that it doesn't matter. It says different. Everyone is doing the wrong thing, so you should also. Okay, I don't remember the whole Shtikl Torah, but there's an idea, and I think there rise to this idea in different places in Chazal, in Shulchan Aruch, Beis HaKnesses to some degree has its own virtual east and west. North and south. Mm-hmm. Thus, the Beis HaKnesses minig is you go to shul Friday night, and the Aron is in the wrong place. Everyone still turns, makes an about face, makes an about face.
The old Beis Medrash. The Herschel Shecht has said what you're saying.
The old Beis Medrash.
You take the old main base. Everybody, the Aron Kodesh is north.
North.
So everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but everybody davens on a quite a strip angle, not to disrespect the Aruch Kodesh. So they make a middle of the road.
Right.
Type of,
now you remind me.
It's
right.
Very funny. Everybody is davening towards the door.
That's not common, right? That's not common. Most shuls, there are many shuls in this neighborhood. Many that are not facing east. I remember very clearly. I was very little. I was a little kid, and Chaim Berlin, they made a dinner and they gave out their plans to build the new Beis Medrash. Okay, the one they have on Coney Island. Okay, and the plans. I remember, I know, a child, you know, you're very intrigued by these things. You pay much more attention. You're not more interested in learning. You're interested in looking at other things. And I never saw, like, architectural plans. They were so fancy. They made, and the plan for the new Beis Medrash was to face east, like the old Beis Medrash. So it was not like what they had. Now it faces north. The Beis Medrash they built on the Coney Island faces north. But the original plans, they made these beautiful plans, they gave out the dinner to raise money, was to face east. And then they changed it. They changed it because they realized that they can pack in a lot more space go facing north. What is it, north? Facing south. You can pack in a lot more by facing south. And that's what they did. So they built this big building, and the building faces south. I'm doubting all these years, is anyone there to turn on a tilt towards the east? No one. I've never seen it. Never ever seen this happen. In the Young Israel, where they faced, there's also a very big, my father's Young Israel, also a very big dilemma what to do, because of the old shul, before the construction, it faced east. And then when they did renovations, they also faced east. And it just didn't work out. The whole structure of the shul didn't work out. They did another renovation, just the furniture wise, and they changed it to north, not south, north. Okay, that's a little bit of a stretch because you find this because the Eretz Yisrael is south. Eretz Yisrael is southeast. So from America, where we stand today, Eretz Yisrael is mainly east, but it's slightly south. So if you want to turn south, you're also facing Eretz Yisrael. But facing north, you're not facing east, you're not facing Eretz Yisrael at all. So it's a little bit of a stretch to make a shul today in America, in New York, that it should face north. If it faces east, that's fine, even though you're not really facing Yerushalayim. And if you're facing south, you're also not facing Yerushalayim. But being that relative to us, to New York, Yerushalayim is southeast. So either one of these two directions, you fulfilled a token fulfillment of what it says in the Gemara that you should face Yerushalayim. Nowhere does it say in the Gemara that you should face east. What it says in the Gemara is that you should face Yerushalayim, you should face the Beis HaMikdash. We call it Mizrach, but it's not really Mizrach. If you really want to build a shul, you really want to do it the right way, you should take out a compass, and you should have the architect build the Beis HaKnesses with the Aron Kodesh perfectly facing, calibrated to face Bidiyuk, to face Yerushalayim. Okay, I actually gave a compass and I calibrated it. I once did that. I'll show you. Bring it in. I have a compass where the compass has east, west, and on the compass it shows Yerushalayim. You want to know Yerushalayim is. So you make it perfectly facing north. You have the compass, and then on the compass you see exactly on the compass where, if you follow, there's an arrow where it takes you to Yerushalayim. That would be the ideal thing to do. But we do not do that. Bizman Hazel. We either go north, south, or east. Going north. All right. Listen, I don't know. So I saw over the years people come into the shul who do not very unhappy. The fact that the Aron HaKodesh is in the north, and I've seen them daven mamish mizrach. The Olam is davening north, and there are a few yechidim that are davening mizrach, mamish perpendicular to everyone else. This is 100% shalai halacha.
What? Rob, we in Rabbi Zevin Shul were facing north the Aron HaKodesh.
North.
When it came to Shimon Esrei,
he turned perpendicular.
Yep.
And everyone else, they said, but he's the rabbi. They should follow what he's doing. So the Mishnah Berurah explicitly says, if you come to Beis HaKnesses and everyone is facing the wrong direction, they're facing north. They're facing west. Which is really bad, right? That's really going the opposite direction. Unless you want to say west, you're going on the world the other way direction. even though everyone is facing the wrong direction, he should not be mishane. Do what everyone does because it looks like shtei rishuyos. If everyone is facing one way and you're facing this way, it looks like you're worshiping different gods. So that's not correct. Okay, so therefore, all I can tell, so therefore, I've seen the unusual where people do this. One people goes this way and one fellow goes this way. In Chaim Berlin, where the Aron HaKodesh is facing south. I've never seen all the years. No, but that's not that street. The street is on an angle, but the building is not on an angle. There's a lot of wasted space. It always bothered me that the street is on an angle. And there's such a chunk of wasted space that's just that could have been incorporated into the building because the streets are an angle and it's just there doing nothing. But in any event, I've never seen anyone turn in any different directions. Now, I remember very clearly many years ago I had this discussion with my cousin, Rabbi Soloveitchik, Rabbi Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, who is now the rabbi of the Spanish Portuguese synagogue, and he was then learning in YU, and we were talking about this whole topic, and he said that in YU, he said that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, which is his great-grandfather, okay, so he's the son of Eliyahu, whose father is Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and he was a Rosh HaYeshiva in YU in the early years before Rav Yoshe Ber. Rav Yoshe Ber took over his shir.
He took for him.
What? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, he was a big Rosh Hashiva in YU way back. He did not daven in the Beis Medrash. You have to remember, the Soloveitchiks are different. They have a very different halach. The very, I know this from my cousins. They have a certain.
There's a tefillah b'dieved any place, any way you turn.
Yoytzeh, of course he yoytzeh. Of course he yoytzeh. Of course he yoytzeh. He did not, it's Yodua. Check it out. That Rav Moshe Soloveitchik did not daven in the Beis Medrash, the YU Beis Medrash, because he could not bring himself to daven south when you're not supposed to daven south, when you're supposed to daven Mizrach. And he's not, he didn't want to be Mishane, and he, whatever, this was a Shita. So he didn't daven. He davened elsewhere. He davened, of course. Torah Nasai. Listen, this is something not for us to understand. Okay, Ein Adam Yorei L'Soif Daita. This was his thing. So he told me, and Taka told me, he says that in YU, they daven. Some know the halacha, some don't know. He said it's a little bit strange. Some daven Doraim, some daven a little bit to the east. And he said to me, I remember this, the funniest thing is Kabbalah Shabbos.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Kabbalah Shabbos, when they go Boi V'Shalom, so everyone is going in circles. Everyone is doing whatever they want to do. Some people know the Gemara that the Shechina is B'marav, so they turn to the west no matter what. Some people who normally daven Doroim, so now they turn to the Tzafoim. Some do this, some do that, so it's wild. He told me it's wild. At Kabbalah Shabbos, Boi V'Shalom, everyone is turning in a different direction.
In Lubavitch,
yeah.
Rebbe got sick and they built him a little balcony. The crazies started davening
towards the balcony. The Shechina, is in that location. Now, going back to the Al-Pasal, this is
one thing. I want to bring a riot to what you said about the
virtual Easter.
You have it with lefties and righties. You know,
correct.
If you're a lefty,
you are right. Small the day you min the alma. Your left becomes the right. Exactly. It's true. I'm telling you, this is a yesod. There is no question. L'chatchila, you're supposed to build the shul in this way. If the shul is not built in the proper way, so you fall back on plan B. Plan B is virtual reality. Wherever the Aron Kodesh is, to some degree, has the status of Mizrach. The Neila, when you turn the other direction, that's called Marav. Kabbalah Shabbos, turning backwards, which many shuls do. Many shuls that daven Dharam, where do they turn for Kabbalah Shabbos? They turn north. What are you turning north for? So if you want to go to them because the Chotzer, Beis HaKnesses, I don't know, that's...
And also, even if the shul is facing... Mizrach.
Yeah.
There are some people that daven to the side. That has to do with what
if you want to be rich or you want to be a chacham. Exactly. Turn to the south because why the south? Because the south is where the menorah and the menorah represents chachma. And if you want to become wealthy, you turn to the north. Yatsin, because the shulchan is in the is in the north. That's why Rabbanim, which side of the Arun Kodesh does a Rav sit? Which side that Rav is supposed to sit on, the southern side? No, I'm sorry. Where is the Rav supposed to sit on the northern side? Why? So the Rav can turn to the south. Okay, there's a lot of Torah on this. Which side is it proper for the Rav to sit? Most Batei Knesios, where does the Rav sit? It sits on the right side. Okay, the right side, if the Arun Kodesh is Mizrach, then the right side is... I'm confused.
I'm all getting confused now.
If the right side is north. So that allows the Rav, if you're facing north, that allows him to tilt towards the Arun Kodesh where he davened Shemona Esrei. By tilting towards the Arun Kodesh, he's facing a shtickle south. Yeah. The Rav should be a Rav who wants Chachma more than money. If your Rav is sitting on the left side of the Arun Kodesh, and when he davens the Shemona Esrei, he's tilting a shtickel towards the Arun Kodesh, he's trying to tell the Baal HaBatim, it's time for a raise. So when you know your Rav changes from right to left, he's giving you a message, that's what it says. It says this in Chazal. I told you there's a whole safe about this. Right, left, all this is over here. So here we have coming this very mysterious expression, the Pasuk U'ma'aloi Sehu, the ramp of the Mizbeach. The ma'alois, which literally means steps. We have to discuss that why there were no steps, there was a ramp. Pinois, it turns to the east. What are you talking about? To the east? The ramp, we know, we have a tradition, it was on the southern side of the Azara. The answer is, if it's on the southern side, that gives you the ability, when you go up the ramp, to make a right. Making a right takes you towards the east side. I'm on the southern side, I'm facing the north, I go up to the top of the ramp, and now I want to walk around the Mizbeach. Which direction am I going to go? Which side am I going to move? I'm going to go to my right. Because called Pina Sha'ata Paine Lo Yehei Ela Li Yemin. So that's what it means. And the right side is the east side of the Azar. Okay, let's see now. That's the Pasuk. Now there's a lot going on, so we have to go through it very slowly. There are a lot. Now there's one thing I want to point out over here, just to keep this in mind. We have a Chumash. The Mizbeach from Moshe Rabbeinu. We learned over here, one of the things that changes the most, that's changed the most in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, is the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach keeps on changing. In Parshas Tetzav, in Parshas Truma, we have a very different type of Mizbeach, which we really didn't discuss very much, but there's a feature of that Mizbeach that does not seem to appear in the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, or Bayis Shlishi. And that's the reshes. There's a net which is in the form of a design. Okay, here is the Mizbeach, Parshas Teruma. Yosiso es haMizbeach atzei shitim. Okay, the first thing I'm reading this psukim. I'm reading because this is the one of the first I'm going to say in Pshat in the pasuk over here. Say a very big chiddush in this Pshat. It's in Perichavav pasuk Perichavzayin, the very beginning of Perichavzayin in Chumash Shemos. Parashas Truma v'Yosis Mizbeach Atzei Shitim Chamesh Amos Orech v'Chamesh Amos Rechav Ravua Yeh Hamizbeach v'Shalosh Amos Koymoso. So I want to show you the picture. Some there's a machlokes. What does it mean that it was 3 amos in height? We're going to learn now very simply it means from top to bottom. Top to bottom it was 3 amos. There's another opinion that says that it was really 10 amos and the upper portion was 3 amos. But let's learn, we don't have to focus on that now. We know that in the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, what did we learn yesterday? It was, the Mizbeach was 10 amos tall. In the Bayis Shlishi, we learned the machlekes between the Mitzudot David and Rashi, how to learn Pshat in the Pasuk with the Nafgamina. Will the Mizbeach of the Bayis Shlishi be 10 amos or will it be 11 amos? The Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to this very simple reading of the Pasuk, which is one opinion, was a height of 3 amos. But from 3 to 10, 10, 11. Okay, so the height of the Mizbeach keeps on changing throughout history. And then it says, what should you do from his beach? You shall make its corner. It says, we are Caesar Karnasov, Al Abrapinasov. Make the corners, Menuhoyu Karnasov, it's the piece of Nechoshes. It was, that's another major difference, that it was played with copper, which we're going to come to. We're going to come to also over here in Yecheskel. Yecheskel also makes mention soon that the Mizbech of the Bayis Shlishi was plated with copper, which is very mysterious. Where do we find copper in the Mizbech? The Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, there was no copper. It was pure stone. We learned yesterday the mold was made from different materials. We learned yesterday the materials, the zephes, the pitch, and the sand, and the konya, right? We had the konya, and what else? There was some other ingredients. Okay, next it says, V'yosisa siroi sov l'dashno, you shall make, okay, this refers to the utensils, okay, these are the utensils that we use. Let's go to the next pasuk dalet, V'yosisa michbar, this is the very mysterious thing about the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, which requires a lot of understanding. You shall make for it a michbar. What is a michbar? Rashi says, kvara. K'min levush osu loy l'mizbech. Did you know that the mizbech wears clothing? And the mizbech wears clothing. Why does the mizbech wear clothing? So we discussed this yesterday. Because the mizbech is a representative of man. Or all the way around. A human being is just another manifestation of the mizbech. How do we know this? Hashem created man, ofar min ho'adama, earth from the ground. What is it? What ground did Hashem take the earth and turn it to fashion man? Two interpretations in Rashi. One is, he turned the earth from every corner of the world, and he kneaded it with mayim from the tahoim, the shisin, and he made. Or the second interpretation, Hashem took earth from the mekoyim hamizbeach, the place where the mizbeach will one day stand. Hashem took that earth, and from that earth Hashem molded, Hashem made a human being. Why? Because since man is molei chet, halavai, and the mizbeach is mechaper, halavai, if the earth of man comes from the source of kapara, halavai, man shall be able to achieve atonement for his sins. If man came from the mizbeach, that means man and the mizbeach are one and the same. We discussed this yesterday, they're all one and the same. And that's what we discussed, that's why they are chronos. The chronos alludes to the spitz, the pinnacle of what man could achieve. Moshe Rabbeinu, ki koran or ponov. Man, Jews indeed have horns. Whoever told you not is making a mistake. Man has horns. It's a fairish in the pasuk. It says they have four, they have not two horns, they have four horns. Man has four horns. That's what it says. They have four corners, four koronos. Ki koran or ponov. And here it says to make a michbar. Hashem made for Adam and Chava kosnois or vayal bishem. Clothing. Now the kosnois R means what? In the Sefer Torah, shell, mayor. Kosnois R is spelled with an aleph. Adam, koydim achet, even if man would not have sin, man still needs to have clothing. Man still needs clothing, serve two functions. It removes busha, embarrassment, and it also gives l'chavoid ulisifares. L'may nafkimina, can a kohen wear sheer clothing? Beautiful, exquisite clothing that's fashioned with such a way where you can see right through. So the Gemara actually says. The Gemara says there's a tkufa where, yeah, the kohen gadol. We don't know how this works because if you're making it from the me'il, the clothing of the kohen gadol ideally, there's a machazal, should be sheer. You can see right through. You can see the erva. How could that be? How could you wear clothing? Well, what's the purpose of clothing? There's two purposes. Number one, it's to take away shame. Number two, it's to give kavod. Adam, after the chet, is ashamed. He's embarrassed. They cover themselves up. But Adam, before the chet, there was no shame. So you don't need clothing to cover the erva. You just, the clothing would then serve the function of kavod ulisifares. The Koyein Gadol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is in the Mokoyim. First of all, there's no shame, because in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there's no one there. V'chol Adam lo yeh b'oyel moyeh b'voy l'chapev HaKodesh. When the Koyein Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's not wearing the heavy stuff. He's just wearing the four begadim, the four garments, just the Mechmasayim. He's just wearing the bare minimum. And the Gemara talks about that type of clothing, a special type of linen which came which came from a certain place that was so fine, after they put it together, it was sheer. So Adam does not, or Kohen Gadol does not need to be embarrassed from other Kohanim, because no one's there when he goes in the Kodesh HaKodashim. No one's there. And from Hashem, the Erva. So you have to, you're not allowed to have an Erva before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, it depends. Yom Kippur, this Kapara, there's atonement. On Yom Kippur, Adam, the Kohen Gadol, which is the Madrega, ideally, of Adam HaRishayin Koidem Achet. So Koidem Achet, there's no embarrassment. The Lo Yisboi Shashu. But there's still clothing. Because clothing is also L'chavoid U'L'sifares. So sheer clothing fulfills the principle of chavoid u'lisifares, but it lacks the chasorain of a recognition that we are molei chet, we're full of avera, and we need, and we have a, we're molei chet, and we need to cover our busha. The Kohen Gadol, Yom HaKippurim, lefnai v'lefnim, was able, under certain circumstances, maybe never even happened, but the Gemara does talk about such a type of linen which could produce clothing, which is sheer. There is such a concept. Now, where do you see you have to wear clothing? The Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is where man came from, and it says a Michbar, and Rashi very precisely says a Michbar is a Levush. Kimin Levush Osula LeMizbeach, because the Mizbeach is man. The Kronos, the Yesoid. What?
So why don't we have it in the
later Mizbeach? Oh, so that's what over here he wants to say. One of the commentators, I forgot which one over here it is that that's what this pasuk is teaching us over here. When it says, over Gvul Saviv, Chatzi Amav, I think it's going to say over here that refers to the Reshes. This thing exactly. But I first want to clarify what this is before we go further. Before we go further, just to clarify what these things are, because they're important. It's a sieve. It's some type of lattice work. I don't even know what it is. Some type of mesh. A mesh made from metal, made from copper, made from... doesn't really say what it is. It's some type of mesh from some type of material that looked like a sieve, and it was applied, kimin levush, osu loy lemizbeach, osu churin, holes. It was holy. There were many, many holes. Kimin reshes, like a net. Okay, and it says with yosis ala resh, and on the reshes, you shall put the four rings, the tabois nechoishes al arbak itself on the four sides. That's another mystery. How come there are no rings on the mizbeach of Moshe of the bais rishon, the bais shari? So what? So you didn't carry it. So just because you're not carrying it, so that's why if the wings are there, they represent something very mystical. Look, I'll prove it to you. In the v'lo yosuru mimenu, the Aron HaKodesh has rings and baden. It's not going anywhere. It's not going. It's called Muhammad. They take out the Muhammad, but that's not the ideal. The other things they took out the baden, the shulchan they took it out. They took out the badim from the mizbeach achitza and the mizbeach apnimi, but not the aron. So we're not going anywhere. Take off your coat. We're not going anywhere yet. I don't know. It's something which has to be understood. Why are there no rings on a replica or some zecher for the tabois? There were tabois in the bayis rishon, the bayis sheni, and the bayis shlishi for the shulchan and for the Shulchan and for the Mizbeach Hazov and for the Oroin, those tabos never went away. The Shulchan of the Bayis Shlishi is the same Shulchan. Aren't there rings? We didn't say anything about the rings. It just said there's a Shulchan. We didn't say anything. Any of the details. It just said very superficially there's going to be a Shulchan. L'chorah had the rings. They had to pick it up. L'chorah had to show the people. The earlier ago, they picked it up to show them that the Black Mapanim was steaming. They had to move it around. What about the Mizbeach Hazov? When did they ever move the Mizbeach Hazov? Never. The Mizbeach HaZav and Hechel was never ever moved. Will the Mizbeach HaZav, the Bayis Shlishi, have the rings? And have the rings? L'chari, yeah. L'chari, the Mizbeach HaZav, the Bayis Shlishi, is identical to the Mizbeach HaZav of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Bayis Shlishi, which had rings. And had. I don't know. Okay, next. The Nosato is... The Shulchan, if it became Tomei. If it became Tomei, if someone was Matameh by accident or whatever happened, yeah, then they would toil in the mikvah because it was a kli. It was a utensil. The Gemara says the Ferish. It was a utensil. It was movable. Something which is movable is metame.
So the Mizbeach?
So the mizbech of the bayis Rishon of Moshe was movable. It was a hollow container. It was made from copper, and it was hollow inside. They filled it up temporarily with earth, and when they traveled, they removed the earth and they just carried the empty hollow shell. The bayis Rishon Sheni was not. It did not move. You're right. It did not move. It's not mekabel tumah. Okay, in a chanami. There's no zecher anywhere in the Gemara that the mizbeach of the bayis Rishon bayis Sheni has rings, has anything. So obviously, this studying, which was not needed, was not necessary, it fell away. I'm just asking a question: is that since we've already been learning this so long, and we've seen so many times every little detail, which to us seems to be insignificant, turns out to be of major significance, represents major mystical concepts. So even though we don't see need for it, there is a lesson, there's a limud. Why is it not at least not there in its obvious form? Okay, I don't know the answer. That has to be, but let's go a little bit further. You know, sato is satachas karkoif. Now there's something else. Now we have another thing that's very interesting called a karkoif. What is the karkoif? Kol davar hamekiv saviv beigul kori karkoif. K'moy shaninu beheichel behakol shechtim. Eluhein golmei kliets kol she'asid l'shuf uli karkoif to go. To surround it, they made etches, bekarshe dafne hatevois v'safslecho etz. It was some type of indentation that was made along the mizbech for the af lemizbech osa charitz sivivoy v'hoy rochboy amo bedafnoi linoi. It was, the width was one amma. Now that's critical, because that's how we're going to read this into this pasuk over here. It was, the width was one amma, bedofne linoi vu lesoif shalosh amoy shel gavo, kedivri oimer, that the mizbeach was 10 amos. Okay, let me just go very quickly over here. My name is Kamigim Amos Kamosai. That's the world of opinion. I will say, lo mizbeach, I am choshes. Let me just run through over here. Bein Karen leKaren, okay, here it is. V'chesim v'zvachim, izel karkoiv. Bein Karen leKaren, v'hoye rech ve'amo lufnim mehen amo shel hilch ragli hakoyhanim. Shtei amos halol kuim karkoiv. V'diktiku sham v'eksiv tachas karkoiv v'mizbech malmata. There were two karkoivs. Chal lenoy v'chal lekarim d'loy yishtor, which not slip. V'zeh shebedoyf in lenoy hoye u'mintachtov u'bishoy. Okay, I'm sorry for not preparing this well. So one moment. Okay, what he basically says is as follows. If we learn very simply that the Mizbech of Moshe Rabbeinu was a height of 3 amos, the karkoiv was just basically an etch. It's the chut hasikra. It is the equivalent of the chut hasikra. The chut hasikra is mavdil between the upper portion of the mizbeach and the lower portion of the mizbeach. The damim that nitanim lamala versus the dam, the blood that's nitan lamata. So what do we have on the bayis? The bayis Rishon and Sheni and Shlishi, even though we've not mentioned the chut hasikra. The chut hasikra is replacing the karkoiv that existed in the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, let's learn according to one interpretation, was only 3 amos in height. There was in the center of the Mizbeach 1.5 an etch in the wall of the Mizbeach, a design, which was mavil between the Damim Lamala and the Damim Lamat. That's called the Karkoiv, something which goes all the way around. Below the Karkoiv is the Reshes, are the clothing. The Mizbeach is wearing clothing. What is the Reshes? Some type of designer meshwork that was a design, and on that design you put also the Tabos and the Badin, and you can see all of this illustrated here in Illustrated. If you have an article Chumash later on, you can look at it, you can see it shows a very long Rashi right here. Over here they're only showing one version of Rashi, one version of the Gemara, where the Mizbech was only 5 amos in height. There is a karkoiv, which was a beautiful which was basically a border, which went all the way around. It was in the center, and it was used, was etched into the copper wall, into the copper of the Mizbech, used to show the center point. Below that was a reshes. Okay, so here's the question now. The question now, in the Mizbech of Moshe Rabbeinu, what were the dimensions of the karkoiv? A whole amma. Isn't that amazing? The whole Mizbeach is only 3 amos. But a whole amma was an additional addendum called the karkoiv. That was replaced with a teeny chut. How could it be that we went down from the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Mizbeach of the Bais Rishon and Sheni and Shlishi from an amma to a chut? We're going down. Other things were going up. We learned that the foundation of the Bais Shlishi was not an amma, it was 2 ammas. Okay, the whole height was, according to some, 11 ammas. So you see that there's a lot of shinuim. Some things we expand and some things we contract. We have 2 additional features we learn here, the karkoiv and the reshes. Where do those things appear in the Bais? So the karkoiv we know is the chut ha-sikra, and it's one interpretation. Another interpretation is the karkoiv turned into the amma shel hiluch raglei ha-kohanim. So the Mizbech of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was nowhere for the kohanim to walk around. The amma's dimensions were, the Mizbech on the top of the Mizbech was 5 by 5. The Mizbech that we learned about on the bottom started off as 32 by 32. And when you came to the very, very top, the Mokom HaMarachah was 24 by 24. What else did you have? Another 4 amos. What were the other 4 amos on each side? 1 amma lihiluch ragli hakoyhanim, and the other amma for the Kuranas. Rashi here says, based on the Gemara in Masechta Zvachim, is that another opinion that the karkoiv is not just the chut ha-sikra. The karkoiv was replaced, was changed from the side of the Mizbeach to the surface of the Mizbeach. The makom where the kohanim walked around, that 1 amma, that is the karkoiv of the Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nothing of Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach disappeared. It just changed forms. In the Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, the karkoiv was along the height as a design, and it also served as a mark between the top and the bottom. In the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, the karkoiv was taken from the height and put on the surface, where it became the area, the surface, where the kohanim would walk around. What about the reshes? That's a mystery. So some learn the reshes was a lattice work, which was like you have on the sidewalks by the corner. You shouldn't slip. It was rugged. You should not slip. The reshes was on top of that 1 amma. When the kohanim walked around, they did not walk around on a smooth stone, so they should not slip. They walked around on like a mat, and then they should not slip. What was the mat? The mat was a reshes. It was lattice work, which prevented them from slipping. So the reshes that was beneath the karkoiv of Moshe Rabbeinu was now on the surface of the Mizbeach, on top of the karkoiv, which was the path they walked around. So it's a little bit strange. I mean, what's going on? You switch from the vertical to the horizontal, and now it was being used to mark as the center. Now you're stepping on it, you're using it to walk around. Okay, this is a very big mystery, but you see, at least to some degree, that it's not disappearing. If it appeared in the Mizbech of Moshe Rabbeinu, you have to find somewhere, somehow, you have to find some zecher, some form of it, equivalent in the Mizbeach of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Shlishi. And that is going to be the topic of discussion over here, to fashup, to take it, and to somehow sneak it into this pasuk. So let's see, we have another few minutes, let's see how we listen to the Mitzvot pasuk design. Pasuk design, the Mitzvot dos David, let's see how we learn shot in this. In this pasuk, Vazara, who defus gag hamizbech mekayim hamarocha im mekayim hiluch ragli hakohan im mekayim hakronos for yudal amos al yudal ama. So we were discussed in great detail. Kain hoya meem tzu isa el kol arbas tzigodecha v'hoisa b'kim kain chavches lo chavches. So here it says this is that the top surface of the mizbech was from end to end, including the corners, was 28 by 28. The previous pasuk that said the word Vilcho Ariel was 12 by 12, which means 24 by 24, that's only the Mokoim of the Maharocha. The Mokoim of the Maharocha, the place where they actually offered the Kurbanos, but that does not include the one Amma for the Mokoim Hilich Ragli HaKoyhanim, and it does not include the one Amma of the Kronos. But if you were to include the place where the Koyhanim walked and the Kronos, then the total would be 28 by 28, and the way the Pasuk says 28 is 14 by 14, 14 from the center in each direction for a grand total of 20 by 28. Now, the next words, the Hagivul, what's the Gvul HaKronos? The direction of the corner of the corner, Shahayu Bigvulah Misaviv La, the Arba HaMitzos, Hayu Chatziyama. So the Mitzudos explicitly says the word Gvul means the corners. We're not discussing the Reshes. We're not discussing the Nichbar. We're not discussing the clothing of the Mizbeach. We're only discussing the Kronos. Hayu Chatzi HaAma, the Mitzudos says, the Me'im Su'isaf, the center, L'chol Ruach, the hoyu imkain ama alama. Next, the hachek la, hachek asher la, batla ama misaviv. This refers to the foundation. We already mentioned this before. This repetition, and over here in the parentheses it says v'itochin shabol lama lefish mi'oz lo batla hayisoid b'chol svivo ki b'mokem shoyam minachalas yehuda lo hoyu yisoid ki amu razal lechin ama laasad la yasoid misaviv. This is an amazing, amazing insight from the Mitzudos Tavit. If you learn the Gemara Masech the Sukkah, and the Gemara Masech the Megillah, and elsewhere you learn that the foundation of the Mizbeach did not go all the way around. The foundation of the Mizbeach only went around, there are different opinions as to how many, two places, two plus according to one opinion. Some say it was mamish at the very, very end. Only the teeny little corner was missing. But according to whatever it is, this is the yesoid that appears in the Gemara multiple times. The foundation of the Mizbeach did not go all the way around. It was cut off in a little bit less than half. Why? Why was it cut off a little bit less than half? Because the Mizbeach sat on the boundary between Yehuda and Binyamin. The part that's west was the property of Binyamin. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Heichal, everything west of the Mizbeach was, and the Mizbeach also, and the Mizbeach was the property of Binyamin, and everything east was the property of Yehuda. And the boundary was not a straight line. The boundary, according to Kabbalah, it jig-jagged. And it just happened to jig-jag right where the Mizbeach was meant to be. And Binyamin did not allow Yehuda to have the Mizbeach situated. The Mizbeach can only be on the property of Binyamin, not on the property of Yehuda. So therefore, where the border extended a little bit too much, they had to remove the foundation. So the Mizbeach should not at all be on the asset and property of Yehuda. Why was this so? So Chazal tell us, because it was the only one that did not participate in the chait of Mechiras Yosef was who?
Binyamin.
Was Binyamin. So therefore, who was the only one of the Shvatim who was born in Eretz Yisrael? Binyamin. Binyamin is the Yedid Hashem Choyfeif Olav Kol Hayom. He was not part of the Mechira. He was born in Eretz Yisrael. His Kedusha is higher. Therefore, the sanctified parts of the Beis HaMikdash must be built only on his portion. The Mizbeach, the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Heichel has to be on his portion. Therefore, if Yehuda was trying, Malchus, he was trying to overstep his bounds and cut into the area of the Mizbeach had to be cut off. That section had to be cut off, not to allow the Mizbeach to be built upon a portion that belongs to Yehuda. That has to be purely only on the portion of Binyamin. And here, the Mitzudos Tavit says something that is incredibly fascinating. There's repetition. It says here that the Cheik La Amo Sadiq, the foundation of the Mizbeach was one Amo all the way around. It already taught us that in the previous Psukim. Why is the repetition? To teach you that in the Bayish Shlishi, the Yesoid is going to go all the way around. Why? Not because of Yehuda and Binyamin. We're going through the last Perek. is that there's going to be a re-division of the entire Eretz Yisrael. And the place of the Beis HaMikdash will be jointly owned by every single member of Klal Yisrael. The issue of Mechiras Yosef will no longer be an issue. That will be bottled. The Beis HaMikdash, the territory, is the whole Klal Yisrael. There's no longer this issue of Yehudim and Yamin. Therefore, the Mekoyim of the Yisrael and Mizbechin once again be restored to go all the way around. This is the Shita of the Metsudos David. That's what it says over here. The future, b'chol ze'achik, shu yesoy l'rak amasavim, v'lo yoyser, ki v'lut ze'abgul lo b'cheshbon, ki loy nimshach rak b'rechav tefach, and only when whatever that is his chiddush. Okay, and we have to do Rashi next time, and then
it's
see... I'm sorry, I turned the page, I'm reading the wrong thing, so this is the step, okay, that's a big topic of discussion, exactly the ramp. Wire ramp and not steps. That will be with Hashem next week.